So whenever the Jewish people, they look at the word Yahweh, they pronounce it as Adonai, means the Lord, Master. So in the New Testament, the reason for us to able to enter into the Holy Temple of God, in the church to worship Him, the very reason for us to be able to gather together and to take the Holy Communion, to be united in Christ Jesus with the Lord Father, is because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I. And in the New Testament, though there's no Yahweh, this title in the New Testament, but there's Lord, Adonai in Hebrew, and Kyrios in the Greek. So remember, the Holy Communion is very important. And remember, whatever we take the Holy Communion, we need to examine our hearts. We are not worthy before God, but we need to come before the Lord with a humble heart, with a broken heart, and say, Lord, forgive me and help me to forgive the people who does me wrong. Help me, Lord, to experience a true reconciliation with you, Lord, with the Father, and with one another in Christ Jesus. It's also for us to enjoy the Lord's Supper. Sometimes when we have the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, we feel that we are rejuvenated. We feel that we have the strength to do things for the Lord. We feel that we are challenged once again after singing, worshiping the Lord, partake the Holy Communion, remember that Christ has died for us, receive the Word of God, and we are being challenged. But sometimes we feel that we're still struggling with many things in this world. Some of us, we might be struggling in our purity. We might be struggling in relationship. We knew that it's not right for me to be with that person. You knew deep down in your hearts that it's not right for you to have relationship with that person. Boys-girls relationship or boys-to-boys relationship. You knew that it's not right. But you have a deep sense of struggling within your heart. You knew that it's not right for you to be rude against your parents. But you can't help yourself, but sometimes you get agitated, irritated. You knew that you have to forgive, but you still have bitterness in your heart. You knew that you need to read the Bible and pray, but sometimes you feel that there's a lack of zeal. I remember Brother Andy, when he shared here, he said, on Sunday itself, you feel challenged, you feel charged up. On Monday, you woke up early in the morning, you read the Bible. Tuesday, Wednesday, you start to compromise. You start to get up and say, there's a voice in your heart. It said, doesn't matter, you still have 24 hours. You still have whole day long. Go and check your phone. Go and check other stuff. Go and check notifications. And then on Friday, on Saturday, you fail. And you sin against the Lord. You felt dejected. You felt discouraged. I wonder whether it's you in that picture. You felt that you're unworthy before the Lord. You felt that you don't have the strength to fight against sins. And there are two scenarios for us to consider before dive into the Word of God. The first one, a person who has been lusting for women. And he knew that it's not right. He tried many ways, many efforts. He keeps himself busy in order to end this sin. He keeps himself busy in many ministries. Now, this person is not hypocrite. He really tried his very best. The reason for us to keep himself busy in ministry is not being hypocrite. He just wants to get himself busy so that he can get away from his sin. But all his efforts were not useful. This is the first scenario. And second scenario, a man who struggled the same sin, lust, he has came to the faith in Christ. And deep down in his heart, he experienced a true transformation, a true renewal. He was once like Augustine, lust over many women. But this one day, he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. He felt that his heart was being changed. There's no more desire for other women. But later on, unlike Augustine, he found himself fall into the very same sin. I wonder whether you're that person. Now, these two scenarios doesn't just refer to the sin of lust. It can refer to many other sins, for example, like bitterness, like impure anger. What's wrong with these two persons? Why the resolution to fight against sins fail, especially for the second one? Why the second person has truly experienced the Lord in his heart? He has sensed the transformation in his heart, but he failed. He failed. Why? The title for today's sermon is Keep in Step with the Spirit. And let us remember this very verse. It's your takeaway for today's sermon. Let us read together. 1, 2, 3. If you live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to give thanks, Lord. We want to give thanks for today. Lord, we want to give thanks that we can come before you as we are. Broken as we are. Helpless as we are. Lord, in our workplace, in our ministry, in our family, we might try to present ourselves good before the people. But some of us, we might not have the heart to be a hypocrite, but we just don't want to let other people see the dark side in our hearts, Lord. Some of us strive to fight against sins with our own resolve. We tried our very best to read the Bible. We tried our very best to attend church services. We tried our very best. We have been trying, O Lord, to attend services, to attend meetings after meetings, to even immerse ourselves in ministry. Yes, Lord, in the Bible we have seen that King David failed because of the life that is not preoccupied with ministry, because of the life that is not in line with his calling. We want to be a person who are busy for you, Lord. But over and over again we fail. Some of us, Lord, we experience a true transformation deep down in our hearts, but we fail once again, O Lord. Lord, help me, O God. Help me, O Lord, to realize that I'm nothing before you. Help all of us to realize that we're nothing before you. Help me, O Lord, to proclaim your words faithfully, O Lord, not on my own strength, but clinging unto you, O Lord. Lord, speak to me. Rejuvenate my heart. Heal me, O Lord. And help me, O Lord, to be faithful to bring forth your words. To share and preach your word faithfully. Prepare our hearts, O God, to receive your words. And Lord, work mightily in our hearts. Let your words fall into deep soil, in the good soil of our hearts, that your words will bear fruit in our life, O Lord. Lord, make our hearts to be a fertile land. Remove the heart of stone and grant us the heart of flesh. Soften our hearts, O God. And Lord, help us to remember your words, to understand your words, and to live out your words in our daily life. Lord, speak to us and be with all of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, let us turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25. I shall read on the pulpit, and I hope all of us will follow along in your hearts. And as I preach, I encourage all of us to keep your Bible open or keep your Bible on if you have a phone, have a Bible on a phone. So I shall read from Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 25. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this, I want you as I want you before. And that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Now, some of us, we have the misunderstanding when we read through the verse like, we have been crucified in Christ Jesus. And whoever belong in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. You might have thought that as a Christian, I'm totally free from sin. I'm totally free from desire of the flesh. I'm totally free from temptation. It's not the case. I believe, I hope that this is the first encouragement. The Bible pointed us to see the reality of the struggle, the flesh and the spirit. Paul knew the struggle is so real in church. Remember, as long as we are living in this church, as long as we are living in this world, wherever we look at certain brothers and sisters in Christ, or we look at certain church who seems so immoral, so wrong, so the life is not walking with the Lord, never, never say to the person, you will never be saved. But warn that person. Warn that person. If you keep doing so, if you keep living in appropriate relationship, sorry to say that, but the word sugarcoat the very words in the Bible to make it sound better. In appropriate relationship, actually in Bible, it's adultery. If you're living in adultery and you've been living in such a life, you might not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul knew that we are struggling with sin, that in the church, some are truly genuine Christians, some never born again, and some really will come to damnation because of the ongoing life living in sin. So Paul referred to the church of Galatians, and we look through the epistles of Paul, 13 letters to the churches. You know which tone that Paul used against the church has the strongest dissatisfaction? Is it the Corinthian church, who many of the people commit adultery? It's not. It's Galatian. And the reason why Paul was so strict against the Galatian church is because they tried to wrestle against sins with the works. In the Galatian church, they have the big sin, a big thing that they have been doing that is contrary to the gospel, which is the act of circumcision. In other words, if we look through the passage today, and we look through the book of Galatians, and apply the pastoral terms, pastoral tones of Paul to the Galatian church, and apply to today's context in Galatians chapter 5, what Paul means in this passage is this, it means that Christians, the struggles against sins are real. And if you resolve yourself to fight against sin with the works of the flesh, if you resolve yourself to go against sins with your own strength, with many, many works, you're doomed to fail. And you never find acceptance in the Lord. We can never, never come to the Lord with our own works. That's why Paul was so strict against the Galatians. And Paul knew the wrestling against sin is so real in a Christian life. It doesn't disqualify you and I to be Christians, but we need to be careful we have walked with the Lord. So Paul knew, that's why Paul said, walk by the Spirit and you're not gratified the desire of the flesh. As a parent, if you're not parents, remember, recall when you're small, When the parents said to you and told you with the food on the table, the parents said to you once and over again, he said, "Son, wait till all of us, wait till all the people, your relatives came, and then we sit down together, then only you can eat the food." You know why the parents repeat to the young son and daughter over and over again? There are two reasons. The parents treat this to have meal together with relatives, with family members, is a very important thing. The parents treat this as a very important thing. And second, the parents knew that the son or the daughter have the temptations to eat first without waiting. So Paul knew. The reason why Paul asked us, encouraged us, or command us to walk by the Spirit, because Paul knew, and it's effects of life, that our struggle against sin is so real. He said, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the desire of the flesh against the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." Now, this is very important. When we are born again, when you and I heard the gospel and became a born-again Christian, there's a new desire in your heart. That is a desire that comes from the Spirit. There's a new desire for you to hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's a new desire for you to wake up and to read the Bible. There's a desire for you to attend church meeting, Sunday service together with brother and sister in Christ, to sing songs of praises, to worship the Lord, to listen the sermon, to listen the Word of God. But our old man is still there. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has saved us from the dominion of darkness, but we're still living in this sinful world. We are still wrestling against our fleshly desire. Now, bear in mind, when the Bible said, especially the book of the letters of Paul, flesh, it doesn't mean, Paul did not mean that our body is evil. Now, we need to distinguish, differentiate body and flesh. When Paul said flesh, normally he's pointing to evil desire within us. In Greek, body is soma, or pronounced as S-O-M-A, soma. Flesh is sars, S-A-R-X. So whenever majority, when Paul refers to flesh, it means our sinful desire. But whenever the body is referred, it's a neutral form. And in fact, God created us with a physical body, and God said after creation is very good. So that's why Christ loves you as a whole, including your body so much, that when he offers eternal life, it is with the promise that your physical body will be redeemed one day. That's why Christ resurrected on the third day as the first fruit for all of us, that one day we'll be resurrected with a physical body. But as long as we are living in this world with our physical body, our fleshly desire often use our body as an agent to tempt us. Remember, when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, the very first temptation from Satan was what? Turn this stone into bread. And before that, what did the Bible say? And Jesus was hungry. Jesus was hungry. So body is neutral. It's actually good in Genesis. But our desire of flesh often use our bodies as an agent to tempt us. So when we're born again, we find it difficult to do things that you want to do. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you want to read the Bible, there's a voice dragging you and says, you still have all day long. Go and check your mail. Go and check your phone. Go and follow FIFA World Cup in 3 a.m. Now, there's one of my teachers, a pastor, he posted on Facebook. He said, look at your life. If you have so much enthusiasm to follow a FIFA World Cup, you have the drive to wake up so early, 3 a.m., to watch at least 90 minutes. That is a proof that you have time for the Word of God. You have time for the Word of God. You have time. So there's a deep sense. When you try to do something for the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, the voice tracking you. And then you do something bad against the Lord, the Holy Spirit prompts you and says, stop watching television. Go and read your Bible. Stop following news on the Facebook. It's time to go to church. You find yourself in a dilemma, in the really fierce battle. You find that you no longer have the true freedom to do what you want to do. And James chapter 3 verse 2, it also says that it's a proof for us. Some of us think that as long as we are Christians, we can live a sinless life. It's not the case. James chapter 3 verse 2, it says, we all stumble in many ways. In many ways, all of us stumble. And John, 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, it says that if we have, since that we have no sins, we deceive ourselves. We need to come to the Lord and confess our sins over and over again. And some of us, we can draw two conclusions here. First, we expect a real battle with sins until glory. Okay? And second, if you look at this, we see that I got an unsettled, unrepentant practice of the flesh is incompatible with God's kingdom. Now, having said that, we all struggle with sin, does not give us a license to sin. Because Paul, he once again said in verse 19 to verse 21, he said, now the works of the flesh are evident, it means are obvious. Some try to like comfort ourselves when we sin. He said, no, it's not because of what? Because I have some other intention. But Paul said, no, if you have no peace in your heart. And if other people give you certain command, it's actually the works of the flesh are evident. Never give yourself excuses. These works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Paul said, not only these things that you've been doing, but things like this. Things that impure. Things that cause us to have unfaithfulness against the Lord, idolatry. Things that cause broken relationship ourselves with the Lord and with other people. All these things. And many things like this. Paul said, I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit. So never says that since we struggle with sin, it's normal. Yes, it's normal. But if you give in to sin, it means that you're not a true Christian. So unsettled, unrepentant practice of the flesh is incompatible with God's kingdom. It doesn't mean that, like King David, he fought once sin of idolatry and he disqualified from the kingdom of God. According to man's work, yes, he failed to qualify himself into the kingdom of God. But by the grace of God, he is qualified because you trust in the Lord. So never say to yourself, since as long as we can come to the Lord and be saved, let us sin the whole day long, and before we die, we just come to the Lord in repentance. We never know what will happen to you tomorrow. And the book of Hebrews says, today, if you listen to the word of God, do not harden your heart as like the Israelite in the wilderness. Never, never assume and say that you still have a chance. Yes, as long as you're still living, come to the Lord in repentance. But never drag the very moment. Never. You must not confuse struggle with surrender. A believer may fail, may fall, sometimes seriously, but a believer can never make peace with sin. Never make peace with sin. So the struggle is real, but how are we doing to deal with the struggle? Now, verse 22 is very interesting. Paul said the works of the flesh are evident, and the full list of the many lists on the work of the flesh. But verse 22, Paul did not say, but the work of the Spirit. No, Paul did not say so. Paul said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's a huge difference on the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And before we dive deep into it, there's a question for all of us. See whether you can spot out. Now, this question for you. How many fruit listed in these verses? How many? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many? 8, 9? Now, I believe many of you are English teacher. When you have many types of fruits on the table, do we say fruit or fruits? With S, right? But here there's no S. There's no S. It's actually Paul wants to make a contrast. Paul here, he wants to make a contrast. Remember the Samaritan woman by the well? She has 5 husbands. And now she's living, it's not her husband, but the 6th husband. Now, according to the Jewish tradition, a woman can be divorced up to 5 times. The 6th is not no longer legal. But the woman here is live with the 6th husband. He needs it for life. But we can apply it to today's life. That with many pursuit of sin, we can never be satisfied. The very reason why Paul lists the works and fruit here, he wants to point 2 things. First, Paul said, and things like this, if you immerse yourself giving in a fleshly desire, your quest will be endless. You commit sin over, 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 over again, and you'll find no rest. That is works. And you'll be living in a fragmented life. As in plural form, it's a fragmented life. You'll be never be satisfied. Over, over and over again. But the fruit of the Spirit is one with many facets. It's a blossom fruit with many facets. It's not works but fruit. It's one fruit, it's integrated, it's whole. And that's why it leads me to the second point. In the face of many sins in the past or in the presence, we need to come and to be renewed by the Spirit. That's why Paul, after he lists all the fruit, he says that, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. And Paul said, if you live by the Spirit, if you look through the Bible, whenever the Spirit is present, the Word of God is present. In book of Acts, the person is filled with the Holy Spirit is a person filled with the Word of God. And if you look through the Bible, as the Spirit is present, the Word is present, Christ is present. And remember the promise of Christ. The Spirit is sent by the Father and by Christ. Jesus Christ promised to send us the Holy Spirit. So before we learn to see that we need to be born again by the Spirit, before we look at the third point to see that we need to rely on the Spirit, the key for us is not in abstract form. The idea to cling on to the Holy Spirit is not an abstract idea. It's not through like certain music to give us the mood to cling on the Spirit. It's not to empty yourself in meditations to have the feeling of being filled by the Holy Spirit. It's centered in Christ Jesus. The more we read the Bible by faith, and the more we see Christ by faith, the more we go back to the gospel, the more we are being filled by the Holy Spirit, the more we experience the regenerated power of the Holy Spirit. That's why 24 and 25 is in an indicative form. It means that those who belong to Christ Jesus, Paul didn't say that then you need to resolve to crucify your flesh. Paul just literally pointed out the promise, the facts in an indicative form. He said, those who belong to Christ Jesus, you have crucified the flesh with its passion and its desire. And if you live by the Spirit, it means that all comes together. If you truly belong to Christ Jesus, you have the power and you have already crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. And you truly belong to Christ Jesus. You are indeed led by the Spirit. So, when you sin against God, the first thing that you come, if you come to Christ in a repentant heart, Lord, I've sinned against you. Look at the gospel. Look at the work of the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I at the cross. Lord, I need your blood. I believe in your finished work. I have sinned against you. I need you, Lord, to enter into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior. And if you are not Christians, receive the gospel. Christ died for you. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Christ died for you. Receive Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. If you are a Christian, you're already Christians, look at your identity in Christ. Look at how Christ has done for you. Look at your identity as belonging to Christ Jesus. There lies the source of the power of the Holy Spirit to fight against sin. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desire. And third, reliance on the Spirit. You see, if you notice clearly, I didn't preach from verse 16. When I prepared this sermon, I find it's very difficult to preach from verse 16 to verse 25. Because Paul here used a structure in English we call inclusio. Means that the beginning and the end is the echo. The end is the echo of the beginning. So here, we see that 16 and 25 are literally the same. Paul said, I said, walk by the Spirit and said, you're not gratified the desire of the Spirit. And we go to verse 25. My second point is regeneration by the Spirit. The third point is the ongoing reliance on the Spirit. Now, verse 25, or 24 and 25 is the indicative form. Means that God through Paul points us the facts. If you belong to Christ Jesus, it's equivalent that you have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire, and you live by the Spirit. It's a fact. It's an indication. Now, the second part of verse 25, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. It's a command for us. Now you have belonged in Christ Jesus. You have crucified the flesh with his passion and desire, now there's command for you to walk by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. Just like husband and wife. Now you are married. Live your life as a husband and wife. Continue to date your wife. Continue to be in a dating position with a husband. Continue to talk, to have more love language with a husband and wife. If you're married, live a life as a husband and wife. If you're in the Spirit, if you're already brought alive by the Spirit, if you have already belonged to Christ Jesus, keep in step with the Spirit. Remember how Pastor Paris stormed on the stage? I don't have much weight, so I can't storm like as Pastor Perry. But remember, if you are alive in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step means to walk in line or follow a standard. It's a military command. Keep in step. Literally, look at the front, at the commander, not right or left. Keep in step with the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit is walking. English is very similar with Hebrew here. It's a walk of your life. It's a conduct of your life. It's how you live your life every day. Every moment you need to cling on the Spirit. You need to keep in step with the Spirit. It's similar. Keep in step, give the idea. Walking straight, follow straight, not looking right and left. Walk is your conduct of life. And you're not gratified, bring to fruition, completion, or fulfill your desire of the flesh. Now, look carefully these three terms. It's very similar to Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of wicked, nor stand in the ways of sinner, nor sit at the seats of scoffer. What does it mean? It means that in our walk, in our life, we are walking our journey of life. There are some people, or our fleshly desire, give us counsel. You still have all day long to read the Bible. Check your phone first. The service starts at 10:15. You can make it. Go to do other things first. And then if you're not careful, if you're not walking by the Spirit, you start listening to the people around you. The wicked people around you. You just start listening to the desire of the flesh. And now, you stand in the way of the sinners. You start sinning, giving in to your fleshly desire. And after you give yourself in to sinning, that's where you start to be boastful of your sin. I feel very sad looking in a life of purity today. I remember when I was small, when boys and girls were not married, living together, and the family knew about it, or the neighbors knew about it, it's a shameful thing to the family. But now, even in some churches, the family said, oh, let them try first whether they're suitable or not. And some people, even boastful of the partner that they ever have in their life, that's the disaster of sin. You walk. Be careful, if not, you'll be standing in the way of sinner and you'll be boastful of your sin. You sit at the seats of coffer. But that person, the righteous person, is not trying his own very hard, his own very best to fight against sin. Reading the Bible is not resolving yourself, try your very best to read the Bible. The Bible says that the righteous man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. It doesn't mean that hard work is not important. It doesn't mean that discipline yourself to read the Bible is not important. In fact, here we see hard work that the person meditates day and night. What is meditation? It's not meditation by your mind only. Meditation means here you keep repeating with your mouth until the law of the Lord sinks deep down in your heart. Look at the news, how the Chinese people sit for cow cow. They walk around, they have the paper, they read, keep on reciting until they are ready for the exam. And likewise, how we treat the Word of God, if we recite until the Word of God sinks deep down in our hearts, and it has to be done not with our own resolve, but with delight in the law of the Lord. How can we have this delight? It's by the Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36 says, I will give you a new heart. I'll put my Spirit within you, and this Spirit will cause us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to cause us to walk in the statutes of God and carefully to obey His rule. Now, this passage is referring to the sovereignty of God in causing the people to come to believe in Christ Jesus, to obey the words. But in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 11, we are also called by Jesus Christ to have the genuine heart to ask for the filling of the Spirit. It says that ask and you receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the doors will open to you, and the Lord will give the Holy Spirit to all of us to ask for Him. And remember the passage which we just read. The key for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, we can ask, but the center is on Christ. Ask Christ, ask the Father to fill your Holy Spirit. Go back to the gospel of Christ, and the Lord, through His Spirit, will rejuvenate our hearts. And second, receive, meditate, and obey God's words by faith, relying on the Spirit. When I was sitting on the bench and pondering on the verse, I was after exercising, I was grasping for air, and there I realized, as much I need the air for me to breathe and continue to live, that's how we need the Holy Spirit to continue to walk a life pleasing to the Lord. We don't boast and say that, you see, how intelligent am I to know how to breathe in order to live? But most of the time, we look at Pastor Perry and say, Pastor Perry, I envy you. You put so much time on the Bible. How can you do so? We need to see that Holy Spirit is our source of life. It's not how much the person piety before the Lord. It's how much the person cling on the Holy Spirit. Psalm chapter 1 continue. He is like a tree planted by the stream of waters. A leaf never wither. It will bear its fruits in its season. Meditating the words day and night is not by your own resolve, but by unplanting yourself by the streams of water. Holy Spirit, the very term is similar to breath, is ruah in Old Testament. And it has a profound meaning, means that we can never detach ourselves from the Holy Spirit as a Christian. We will die. Spiritually, we will die. Back to our scenario. A person who tried to live a righteous life and failed because he did not come to the Lord. A person experienced transformation but kept failing because he just received the Lord but he never keep in step with the Spirit. And he tried to do things like good things, good works. But remember, bear in mind, when we say that keep in step with the Spirit, it means that continue to go by faith, have the sense that I cling on Jesus Christ, on the Holy Spirit, continue to read the words by faith, relying on the Spirit, not by yourself reading the words, by faith, and continue to do the work, the words of the Lord by faith. That's why, if you read further down in Galatians, Paul lists many do's and don'ts. That's for you as a practice to live out the words by relying on the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. The reality of the struggle, regeneration by the Spirit, and reliance on the Spirit. Let us read this verse one again. 1, 2, 3. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us bow our hearts, bow our heads, quieten ourselves as our pastor time to Pastor Perry to lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this opportunity to hear your word. Father, we don't take it for granted. We pray that, Lord, your Spirit will continuously refresh us. Even as we are planted, O Lord, by the streams, we pray that, Father, your word will echo through our hearts. Be glorified, O Lord. And, Father, we thank you, O Lord, for conviction by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for transformation by your Spirit. May we be transformed. May your word not just come to us and leave us the same. May our hearts be submitted to your word. Father, I thank you for everyone who is gathered here. I thank you for everyone who would listen to the recording. Father, teach us to walk by your Spirit. Even as we fellowship with you in your word, teach us, O Lord. I thank you for husbands who are here, O Lord. Father, O Lord, touch their hearts to lead their families in your word. We pray for husbands who are gathered here, O Lord. Father, touch their hearts to lead their families by your word. Be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.